Good to see all of you today. Glad that you're here. Some who have been away are back. We're glad for that. And unfortunately, some who are ill can't be with us, but we remember them in our thoughts and prayers as well. And by the way, Brother Dan is preaching in Sunnyside today. He is away, but that's where he is today. And we pray that work will go well there. If you will, stay in Philippians with me. In just a moment, we'll arrive at that passage. But I want to begin our thoughts this morning by, as we talk about the possibility of faithfulness, I'm going to contrast this with what we're familiar with very often is the impossibility of apostasy. And we're going to have problems, I see already, with our signal. Thought we had it fixed, Rick. Thought we were going to just... I'm afraid it's not the breaker. I think it's our connection. I'm going to try this. If this doesn't work, we'll just do without. Maybe it'll come on. Maybe it won't. No signal. Well, such is life. All right. Uh-oh, it's going to come on. There it is. Now, let's see if we can make it work. I'm going to have to bring a new converter. It's just not working well. So we'll try something different tonight. And hopefully that will take care of the problem. All right. The scriptures teach us about the impossibility of apostasy. And we're familiar with passages that teach that. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 and 12. Wherefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in verse 12, the Hebrew writer said, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So, we must be careful and cautious, lest we develop hearts of unbelief. Now, you know, that's an interesting point there, because folks will say, well, if somebody fell away, they really didn't believe in the first place. Because if they had really believed in the first place, they'd never fall away. But notice that the warning is, lest there be in us an evil heart of unbelief in departing, in moving away from the living God. We can believe, then we can develop a heart that stops believing. And by doing so, we depart from God. So he warns us not to. So, and we're familiar with those and a lot of other verses, but we're also taught that it's our conduct that is to be worthy of the gospel, so that we avoid falling away by being careful to commit our conduct to those things that are worthy of Christ. In Philippians 1 and 27, he says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So, our conduct is to be worthy of the gospel. Now, consequently, our conduct can be unworthy of the gospel. How are we conducting ourselves at this very moment in our lives? Does it correspond to, is it worthy of what God says in His Word? Or is there a discrepancy? If there's a discrepancy, we need to correct that by a conscious decision of faith, to repent of sin and to conform ourselves by doing God's will in our lives. And He makes practical application here. He says, I want to hear of you that you stand fast in one spirit. We need to share the same spirit of diligence, the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of devotion. And that with one mind you are striving together, not striving against each other, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. We will be judged on our conduct and whether it conforms to the gospel. Again, in that same book, in chapter 2 of Philippians 12 and 13, says, "My beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Working out our own salvation is always obeying God. Verse 12. Always obey, whether He said, whether I'm with you personally or I'm not with you, I want you to always obey. That's how you work out your salvation, with fear and trembling. That's how God works in you, is when you work the will of God, when you do His will. And that's what's driving the title for our lesson, is that we want to... let me go back there a minute. We want to emphasize the possibility of faithfulness. It's possible to apostatize. The possibility of apostasy is present, but we want to talk about the possibility of faithfulness. You know, there are some who think, well, it's just not possible to be faithful. Well, it is. Our conduct can be worthy of the gospel. We can work out our salvation. We can bring our salvation to a full accomplishment, a complete conclusion, by obeying the will of God. That's what our text emphasizes this morning. That's what we want to do, is just kind of have a textual study and make some applications as we go through this text on the possibility of faithfulness. Now, in verses 3 through 11, and particularly 3 through 7 as we start out, let's read that text and see where Paul says we're to not put any confidence in the flesh. See that? See how he says that a couple of times here. In verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." He's made a contrast with those he calls the concision, those who were binding circumcision as a means of salvation, as trying to bind the law of Moses upon the Gentiles to be saved. He says they're the mutilators, but we are the circumcision of Christ, who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks I have confidence that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now, he says, don't rely upon, don't trust in the flesh. Binding circumcision was doing just that. Binding the law of Moses. Binding things which God does not bind is putting confidence in the flesh. Because you see, we elevate ourselves as the lawgiver and the judge when we do just that. Now, Paul said, I could have confidence in the flesh. I could trust in the flesh. There are many qualities of my life that I could rely upon when it comes to God and the things of God. But he says, I willingly count those for loss. The things that were gained to me, I counted loss. I count loss to be with Christ. He's not going to put confidence in the flesh. Verse 7, the things which were gained to me. That is, things that would give me an advantage. Things that would be achievement to me. I've counted loss. Things that were profitable. How do you count profit in your life? What's profitable to you this morning? 401k doing well? You profiting? Job going good? You profiting? New car? New house? I'm profiting. Is that our measure of profit? It shouldn't be our measure of profit. Instead, gaining Christ should be our measure of profiting. You see, Paul said the things that were gained to me, things that were of the flesh, things that I could put my reliance in and trust in. He says, I've chosen instead to count those as a detriment, as a loss. to gain Christ. I am willing, he goes further to say, I count them as rubbish, verse 8, or refuse. The word there speaks of animal waste. That's how graphic Paul said, that is waste to me, that I may gain Christ. So when we put in our little scale in our brain, what's most important? Because really what he's talking about now is setting priorities. What's the most important thing in my life? Is it my material things? Is it recognition from others? Is it the honor from others? Is it myself and my will? What is it that I count as profit? And then, if we'll be honest with ourselves, then let's say, am I willing to count all that as a loss? Put all that in the loss column, in the waste. Just throw that in the garbage. Flush it in order to gain Jesus. Is that the extent of our value system? Is that the extent of our priorities? That's exactly what Paul said his were. And by the way, we're supposed to imitate Paul, aren't we? 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, as he imitates Christ. And so, what we're called upon to do is to put into a practical application in our lives what Jesus said in Luke 14:33, that he that does not renounce all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Well, he said, what does that mean? I'm not supposed to own anything? No, he says, I'm supposed to love everything else less than I love Jesus. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whoever it is. Less than I love Jesus. We must, if we're going to what Paul is describing now is to have an unwavering priority. To put no confidence in the flesh, but every confidence in Jesus. He says, I intend to gain Christ. Verse 8. Now I want to seize or win. The word gain here is the idea of winning. I want to win Christ. I want to be profited by Jesus. I want a connection with Him that is victory. Well, how do we do that? Well, of course, John said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But in order to have the victory of faith, we have to walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2 says, in verse 3, by this we know that we know Him. How do you know? When people say they know Jesus, how do they describe that? How do they say, I know that I know Jesus? Some experience? Some feeling? Some event? How do you know that you know Jesus? The Bible tells us. By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. That's how we know we're in Him. Paul said, I want to gain Christ. But that necessarily means that I've got to be obedient to Jesus. My priority is to obey Jesus instead of anything of this world. Anything. To please Jesus rather than anybody else. I'm going to please Jesus first. Including myself. Especially myself. I've got to love Jesus more. I've got to please Him more. I've got to sacrifice. He sacrificed Himself on the cross. We talked about that. We remember that in the supper. Look at the sacrifice. Now, Paul says, I'm going to count everything in this flesh as waste, as garbage, so I can gain Christ. That means keep it. Jesus said, if a man love me, he keeps my word. Look in John 14, 21 also. John 14 and verse 21, he said, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I'll love him and manifest myself to him. Well, we have his commandments. They're recorded in the New Testament. Keep them and you love him. Disobey them and you don't. Paul said, I'm going to gain Christ. I'm going to gain him by obeying him, by walking as he walked, by not loving this world or the things of the world. 1 John 2:15. But don't you see in his context in verses 18 and 19 of Philippians 3, he'll go on to show that if we don't do that, if we don't set these rock-solid priorities in our heart, in our lives, the result is destruction. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and who glory in their shame, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. The person whose mind is set on earthly things, on the flesh, is headed for destruction. It matters not if the world says it's a good thing, it's a right thing. We can't make our excuse that, well, it's a job and I'm providing for my family and that's got to come first. No, sir, God comes first. Where is it in the Scriptures that I can put anything above God? But we rationalize, don't we? We accommodate. We're all tempted to do that, and we yield to that temptation too often. And we need to change our hearts. We need to fortify our souls in faith, to walk as He walked, to live as He lived, because the end is destruction if I put my mind on and live for earthly things rather than the things of Jesus Christ. So let's set a goal, verses 9 through 11. Paul set a goal. Look at his goal. The goal is to be found in Him. He said, I want to gain Christ, I want to win Christ, and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. That's what the Jews are trying to do by binding the circumcision on the Gentiles. But that which is through faith, that is the righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, my goal, what I aim to achieve, is to be found in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people, and rightly so, the Scriptures also talk about Christ being in us, but I want you to see that Paul says here, I want to be found in Him. I want to be in Him. Now, because you see, the Scriptures will teach us in Him there's reconciliation. Romans 3:24. In Christ there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1. In Christ we are no longer we're no longer dead, we're alive unto God. Romans 6:11. So reconciliation, no condemnation, alive unto God, all that's found in Jesus. Which the Bible says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. If I haven't been baptized into Christ, then I'm dead. I'm not reconciled. I'm condemned. I'm lost. See, but Paul says, now that he's a Christian, and this is a significant point of faithfulness, he says, my goal is to be found in Him. Well, wait a minute, Paul, I thought you were already in Him. You are, but you see, there's more to it than just becoming a Christian. That's just the starting point. Paul says, my goal is to be found in Him and by having the righteousness which is from God by faith. In other words, Paul says, my aim, my goal is to have such a faith in my life that God counts me righteous. You say, oh, Paul, you can't do that. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no way you can be righteous. Paul says, that's my goal. You've misunderstood righteousness when you come to such a false conclusion. You see, righteousness is according to faith. The gospel reveals that righteousness. Romans 1:16-17. We studied that together on Wednesday night in our Bible class. God counts our faith as righteousness when we have the faith like Abraham had, Romans 4 and verse 5. When we have the kind of faith that David had, Romans 4 verses 6 and 7. When we have the kind of faith that Noah had, Hebrews 11 and verse 7, he will count our faith as righteousness. And Paul says, that's my goal. That's how I will be found in Christ. When I try to bind the things of the flesh, he says, when I try to bind the law of Moses, I'm not going to find Christ. See, I'm not going to be found in Him. That's trying to build a righteousness of my own by law keeping. And I'm not a law keeper. I'm a law violator. I'm a sinner. So, see, Paul's point is, it's not just about starting. It's about continuing. It's about living a faith so as to be righteous, to have righteousness which is from God. You see, when we live in obedient faith, we obtain the righteousness which is from God. That's an important point. Because people say, you're trying to earn salvation, Joe. When you tell me I have to obey God, well, Paul said it in Philippians 2:12. Take it up with Paul. But you say, how can it be? Because you see, we're not earning anything when we are obedient servants. We're obtaining the blessing that the Master offers us. And the blessing is to be counted righteous. It's a righteousness from God, not from myself, when we're obedient. Because it's by faith. And to have something that's by faith is that we hear the Word of God, we trust it, and we follow it. You see, we walk in the commandments of God. Remember, Paul said, I'm not going to trust in the flesh. I'm not going to have confidence in the flesh. I'm going to put my confidence in Jesus. And to do that, that means I'm going to have an unwavering priority and a steadfast goal to be found in Him by a life of obedient faith. Not going to be mine. It's going to be the righteousness which is through God. Or through faith that is from God. Now, in that same text, he amplifies it. He says that I may know Him. We've already seen the one who knows Jesus is the one who keeps the commandments of Jesus, 1 John 2 and verse 5. So that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Well, I suggest what Paul's saying here is, I want to live free from the bondage of sin and its slavery and the death it brings. I want to now live for God, not live in sin and death. That's where he was under the law. He was in sin and he was in death. But now he says, I want the righteousness which is from God by faith so that I can know the power of His resurrection. The real power of Jesus' resurrection is not only that someday in the future He'll raise us from physical death, but that because of His resurrection from the dead, He has the power to raise us from spiritual death, which has been applied when we were baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verses 4 through 9, Paul said, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, just like that happened, so also we should walk in newness of life. Now we've got a decision to live in life and an opportunity to live in life because we were dead. But it's the power of Jesus' resurrection that now we have life when we're raised out of baptism. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And Paul says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Is he not especially amplifying, I want to now live separate from sin. I want to have such a faithfulness, righteousness that is from God by faith that I am freed from the shackles of sin. That I am protected from its power by the greater power that's found in Jesus Christ. He's going to talk about resurrection from the dead in a minute, but right now he wants to know the power of Jesus' resurrection in his life. That's what you want, should want in your life. You see, when you make this conscious decision to be faithful, then you're knowing the power of His resurrection. Because the power of His resurrection is now you have power to be alive spiritually. Spiritually alive from the death that you used to be in sin. Baptism is just the start. It's just the beginning. And as you grow and live faithfully, you are sharing in Christ's powerful resurrection from the dead. You're having fellowship in His suffering. Paul says, I want to have fellowship in His sufferings. Now, there's a thought that's not often used as an incentive to be a Christian and to be a faithful Christian. Because really, he's talking to Christians to be faithful Christians. To be the faithful Christian, the possibility of faithfulness is when we accept and want to share in the sufferings of Jesus. We may want to be a Christian, but do we want to be a Christian who shares in the suffering of Jesus? Who accepts and makes the sacrifices that come with doing the will of the Father who is in heaven? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see in that verse encapsulated what Paul's saying here. What was gained to me, I've counted as loss. I'm crucified for Christ. And the life I now live, now I have the goal to be found in Him. To know, to have the righteousness which is from God by faith. To live by that faith. You see. And in that obedient faith, you see, to in that obedient faith, live a life that corresponds to God's love that He's shown for me. We've got to have the goal to share in His suffering, to accept the suffering that comes from being a faithful Christian. Paul said, I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. And by the way, verse 10 says, I'm sorry, I failed to make this point. He says, being conformed to His death. There in verse 10, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. If we're going to have fellowship in His sufferings, we have to bear the image of His death. You see, conform to, bear that same likeness in ourselves. He says that I might arrive or attain to the resurrection, verse 11. That I may achieve the resurrection of the dead. Well, in one sense, everybody's going to be raised because of the resurrection of Jesus. True enough. The resurrection of all men will come at once. John 5:28 and 29. But Paul's point is, I want to attain to the resurrection that is unto life. John 5:29. See, some are going to be resurrected unto condemnation. Those who put confidence in the flesh. Those who live for themselves rather than walk in the way of God and the commandments of the Lord. Live by faith. Those who trust in the flesh, they're going to be resurrected to eternal damnation. Paul wanted to be resurrected unto eternal life. And so what he would do in the meantime, you see, is count as nothing the things in the flesh and count Christ as everything. If we want to be resurrected to life, we have to be living a certain way now. We have to be faithful now. To live by faith. To be counted righteous by faith. To know Christ now. To accept the sufferings that come with following Him now. To live in the power of His resurrection now. Or when we are raised in the last day, when our body is raised, it will be unto condemnation rather than to life. Paul says, no, I'm going to press for toward the resurrection of eternal life. And that's what every one of us need to do. Now in verses 12 through 14, Paul talks about our blessed assurance. In verse 12, you know, John says that when Jesus comes, we're going to be as He is, for we'll see Him as He is. 1 John 3, verse 2, John says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So Paul says, now I'm my goal, my aim, and my resolve is to remain faithful so that when He appears, I'll be like Him. Now, to do that, so he says, I know that I'm not finished yet. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already attained. That is, I'm not yet seized upon that resurrection of eternal life. I'm not yet attained that ultimate goal. Paul was still perfecting his faith. That's an important thought to us. If Paul was still perfecting his faith just a few years before his death, then there's no time that you and I ought to stop trying to perfect ours. He says, I have not already attained, or am already perfected, completed. He says, no, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. He goes on in 13 to say, I've not yet apprehended. The idea there is I've not yet won. The word apprehend is the idea of I've not yet won the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, don't you know that when we run in a race, everyone runs, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Same word. That you may apprehend it. That you may seize it. That you may win it. Paul says, I haven't won it yet. I've not already seized it. Now what does that do with once saved, always saved? Kind of blows it out of the water, doesn't it? Paul says, no, I've got to remain faithful. Because I haven't yet seized. I haven't yet been completed. I haven't yet gained the reward. So I press on. I push forward. See, he says there's still a blessed reward ahead, and I'm going to press toward it that I may lay hold on that for which Christ laid hold of me. Jesus had laid hold of Paul, saved his soul, made him an apostle, gave him a work. Paul says, I'm doing that work and I'm not finished yet. I'm going to press on. He wanted to die and be with Christ, chapter 1. But he says, there's still things for me to do here in the flesh. So whether I live or whether I die, it's under the Lord. He said, I'm going to press on. See, the end. We've got to press on to the end of our faith, Peter said. 1 Peter 1:9, bringing the same terminology, he said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The end of our faith comes after the trials, Peter said. After our faith is tested and tried and the dross is purged and the purified faith remains. The end of that is the salvation of your soul. It's about faithfulness. When times are good and times are bad. When there's trial, when there's suffering as well as joy. It's about pressing on. Because we haven't apprehended yet. We haven't won the race yet. We're in the middle of the race. And we've got to press on. But you see, there's the possibility of faithfulness. There's the possibility of faithfulness. There's a prize. There's a race. There's a crown to be won. And it can happen. Paul, if it wasn't, why is Paul doing any of this? And why is he telling them to do the same? You see, the possibility of faithfulness compels us to keep doing the work of God. The work wasn't finished yet. Philippians 2, 12. Ours is not either. Remember, the point was, you be obedient. You do the work of God so God can work in you. To say that I've already attained means God has no more work in me to do.
That's pretty arrogant. God has nothing more to do with me. He's completed it in me. I don't have anything else to do. No, not in the least. You keep obeying. You keep working by faith. You keep being righteous. That's how we're righteous, is by faith. And God will work in you. And you press forward, reaching forward. Now, he says, do that. He says, I'm going to have to do something here. I'm going to have to forget the things that are behind. I'm going to have to forget yesterday's sins. Now, what does that mean? Just out of sight, out of mind? No. You forget the past when the past is forgiven. God doesn't want you to forget the past if the past has not been forgiven. We can't just say, that was a long time ago. Doesn't matter now. If there's sin in the past, go to God and be forgiven of the sin of the past. Deal with the sin of the past. Then press forward. See, 1 Timothy 1, 12-14, Paul was able to forget when he was a persecutor and a blasphemer and giving his consent to murder, because, you see, he had received salvation through Jesus. He had, in faith, repented and been baptized. And now he could forget yesterday. And part of forgetting yesterday is not just that point, but also you don't build the future on the past. Paul had been faithful in the past as well. But he hadn't yet attained. He's going to keep being faithful. That's the part of this emphasis as well. He said, I'm going to forget the past. That is, I'm not going to set on my laurels and say, I've arrived. I'm going to press on. I'm going to reach forward to the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, the confidence of our salvation is realized when we are being faithful every day of our lives. When we are living by faith, obeying the gospel, pressing forward toward heaven. That's where we have confidence. That's our blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, as we sang earlier. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. How are you assured in this life? By a faithful life in this life. The possibility of faithfulness is our blessed assurance when we are being faithful. So he said, I'm going to press on to lay hold of the prize. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to put my confidence there. I'm going to put my confidence in Jesus. It's God's call. It's not my race. Not my call. Not my prize. It's all provided by God in Jesus. But I have something to do. I've got to press on. I've got to be careful that I don't let anything deter me, sideline me, distract me, cause me to stumble, put other things before Jesus and His will in my life. That's where your assurance is when you put Him first, priorities, and have the goal of eternal life. So how do we apply all that? Verses 14, 15, and 16. I'm sorry, 15 and 16. Paul said, here's the application. Grow up. Mature your faith. Therefore, let us as many as are mature. We've got to grow. You see, as we commit ourselves to faithfulness, we are committing ourselves to spiritual growth. Of taking the milk of the Word and using the milk to progress us to the meat of the Word, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, so we have protection against sin, and so that we advance the cause of Jesus, that we live by faith, that we accept His sufferings, that we see the power of His resurrection in our lives as we press to eternal life. Have the same mind, he says. Here's the practical application. We've got to have the same mind as Paul had. Look, he says, as many as are mature have this mind. What mind? The mind he's been describing. The mind that has no confidence in the flesh. The mind that says everything's lost to gain Christ. The mind that says, forgetting the past, I'm going to press on to the prize of the upward call of God. This mind of faithfulness played out in our daily living. That's how we put this into effect. If anything you think otherwise, God will even reveal this to you. God's Word is going to guide you in all things. But you've got to have the mind that's set on things above, not on things of this earth. Colossians 3:20. How we apply it? He says, keep living faithfully. Verse 16. To the degree that we have already attained, let's walk by the same rule. Now there's that same word, attained. Paul said, I have not that I've already attained. And then he says, to the degree we have attained. Well, we have attained spiritual blessings in Christ. We attain righteousness by faith in Christ. We are living faithfully now. But he says, keep doing it. Because there's still more ahead. And there's eternity by and by. So it's a plea for faithful endurance. For diligent continuance in the things of God. That's what we have to do. You began well, keep running the race. Don't be like the Galatians and be hindered. He said, you were running well, who hindered you? Well, keep being faithful. By the same rule, he says, let us walk by the same rule. The rule that has brought us this far, let us live, continue to live that standard. The word rule here is canon. Standard, the rule, the measurement. The rule of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and have the same mind. He says, let us be of the same mind. Have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. The mind of the Apostle Paul, to press on, to have no confidence in the flesh, but to endure in faithfulness. Faithfulness is possible. Just as surely as it's possible to fall, it's possible to be faithful. And the call of the gospel is to that faithfulness. Paul concluded, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now Paul's at the end. Philippians, he still had some time on this earth. But now it's about to end. And he says, I've finished the race. And there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, on the day of His return. And not to me only, but also to all who've loved His appearing. Paul had loved the fact that Jesus had appeared. And he gave his life to Jesus. He counted everything else loss. This was the most important thing to him. And he was faithful to Jesus to the day of his death. He stands an example for us to put no confidence in the flesh, but to value everything that has to do with Jesus first and always. If that's not where your mind is or where your life is, then you and me, let us change our minds. Let us change our lives. Let us conform ourselves to the standard, to the rule of godliness revealed in the Word of Jesus. It begins by becoming a Christian and then being faithful as Christians all the days of our lives. If you need to become a child of God, repent and be baptized this morning. If you need to repent of sin as a child of God, do so. If it's private, do it privately. Make things right with your God. Change your life. But if it's public, set things right here, right now. God will hear our prayers. We'll pray together. And His blessings will come. If we can help you, won't you respond while we stand and sing?
Bring Christ your broken heart.